Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more. The Ford F-150 truck helps you get the job done in the smartest way possible. New features like the available Pro Access tailgate improves access to bed and cargo, including when towing a trailer, so it's easier to load in tight spaces. Tough this smart can only be called F-150. Find your local Ford dealer at Ford.com. Pro Access tailgate available starting spring 2024. See owner's manual for important operating instructions.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast, the Masters Class. And here we are with our Masters of the Ring, Mark Henry, Tommy Dreamer, Bully Ray. Gentlemen, how are you today?
Good.
Awesome. A lot better than last show.
That's right.
What was wrong last show? Oh, yeah, you were puking.
Yeah, it was embarrassing.
And we have video out of that on at Busted Open Radio, or you can hear it on right here on the Busted Open Podcast. If you like what you hear, please give us a comment, give us a rating. We love that 5-star rating here on the Busted Open Podcast. And if you like what you hear for free, you know what? Maybe you might want to shout out a couple of bucks and get a subscription to SiriusXM, and you can hear us Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time for Busted Open, our live show. But let's dive into our master's class today. And this one, I think, is definitely going to be a very debatable discussion here on the master's class. And that is about the finisher. And the finish, like what is
going on? Start with the finish.
Oh, my goodness gracious. It's something we used to see on TV all the time, but we don't see it much anymore. And honestly, if you look at protected finishers, I think the only one right now, maybe Kenny Omega with that one winged angel, only Ibushi has kicked out, nobody else. So, Bully, what's happened to the finisher?
What's a finish?
Exactly.
Exactly.
I don't even know what it is anymore. I know it's not the same thing that I grew up on, watching professional wrestling. I know it's not the same thing that that the three of us, me, Mark, and Tommy, went out of our way to protect during our careers, whether it was Mark with the world's strongest slam, Tommy with a DDT, myself and Devon with the Dudley Death Drop. I mean, when we hit our finish, you knew that the match was over. Every once in a while, maybe if the planets aligned and the stars were in the right spot, did you have somebody kick out of your finish? But it was very, very rare. And I know for myself and Devon, only one person has ever kicked out of our finish in 20 years. I believe that finishes should be protected at all costs. I think that at the right time, you can experiment. Hey, look at Rock versus Austin at WrestleMania 17 in the Astrodome. They were kicking out of Rock Bottoms. They were kicking out of Stunners. But when you are in the main event of what is considered by many to be the greatest WrestleMania of all time, that's when kicking out of finishers is acceptable. Too many times in wrestling these days, we see finishing moves prostituted, just thrown out for the sake of throwing them out. Hey, Shawn Michaels had the most impressive super kick and the most devastating super kick and a super kick that won him many, many matches. Why is Shawn Michaels' super kick so devastating and so effective? But other guys' super kicks, they need to throw 27 times before they can get a pin. It's because Shawn Michaels protected his finish. I'm a big believer. I'm very much old school, and your finishing move should be protected at all times. It only strengthens your character, and it's better for the entire business.
you know, I was thinking of some of the superstars today. Let's bring up Brock Lesnar. We know how devastating that F5 is. It seems like in any pay-per-view match that Brock is in, it's usually the third F5 where you're like, okay, that's probably the end of the match. So even something as devastating as the F5, we just saw it recently with Bobby Lashley where he needed to get helped out of the ring and back to the locker room, where in matches, sometimes Brock has to hit that F5 three times before finally getting a pin. And Mark, like Bully brought up that World's Strongest Slam, like, when we saw the World's Strongest Slam, we knew that that match was over. You can go back to Jake Roberts with the DDT. That match was over. What's happened to the finish?
People have found a way to do what we call a cheap pop, a reaction that is brought on by shock value. We listen to Howard Stern. We like the shock radio. We watch movies that have these unbelievable endings, like the End Game, where, you know, all of the superheroes were dead, or half the superheroes were dead, and then they get brought back. Big pop. Well, that's what's happened in wrestling. I remember when the super kick, Gentleman's Chris Adams, yeah, was the guy that I first saw do the super kick. And I mean, I was like, holy cow, I thought he kicked the dude's teeth in. And then Shawn Michaels adopted it and made it his and made it famous. And now, like Bully said, there's like 15 to 20 super kicks in a mat, in a show. And the same thing with DDT. If the DDT got pulled out, oh, it was over. It was over. Anybody that did the DDT. It was Jake Roberts, especially, was the guy. But if you got DDT, it was done. Everybody knew that in the schoolyard. When we played wrestling after school, you got DDT, I don't give a shit. It's over. The sleeper. If you got put in the sleeper, you had to get slapped on the back of the neck and massaged to wake up. The bear hug. If you got bear hug and you was done. So I don't understand, other than the fact that people do it for shock.
Well, and you know, and you mentioned like the DDT by Jake Roberts. When Jake Roberts was doing the DDT, nobody else did the DDT. It was like, that was Jake Roberts' move. You didn't see anybody else do the DDT. And I remember, Tommy, you talked about you kicking out of the Superfly Leap, like Jimmy Snuka. And I was like, when you told me, I was like, holy shit, like, you know, you never see any. I don't remember anybody. There were times where he missed it, like he missed it against Bob Backlund, where he missed the Superfly Leap. But I never saw anybody kick out of it. Once he hit that Superfly Leap, Jimmy Snuka, you were done. One, two, three, over.
Heart punch.
That was done for shock value. And that was done for me by Paul. And most importantly, Jimmy Snuka. And Paul was like thinking about this idea of somebody, who, and Jimmy was just like, sure, brother. Like, and it was between $300 and $500 is why he did it. And also Jimmy liked me. And then I went back and Kevin Von Erich kicked out of it, but it wasn't known as the Superfly Splash. So that was my, I guess, my asterisk to it. I also kicked out of a Cowboy Bob Orton Superplex, by the way. It was kind of my thing for a little
what?
Bit. Yeah, man. I was disrespecting all the legends. If you,
he was the original legend killer.
Yeah.
If you think about like this and what we're talking about, like for me, and I'll tell you, like, especially when I was in WWE, I would have people kick out of my DDT, because I needed those reactions for the office to see something in me. But I also had the Death Valley driver. So I had two finishes. Then once WWE took away my Death Valley driver and gave it to John Cena, like, I was like, all right, DDT. But I also didn't win a lot. So, but when I did win, it was either one or the other. But then I'm also like, you know, we're going back and talking history. Ric Flair's figure four was his finish. How many guys reversed it during the match? And it's his finish, but people reversed it. Then I'm trying to think of like over established finishers, like Magnum TA's belly to belly. So simple. So, and when he hit it, you knew you were winning unless like the legs hit the referee and nobody was kicking out of that. And then it was like, you know, Mark brought up Chris Adams' super kick. It's also what we remember stuff as, but sometimes through history, like our memories aren't the best because I've joked about it. I've watched Chris Adams. Oh yeah. That was
Arn Anderson, bro.
But going back to Chris Adams, I watched him hit 6 super kicks in his match and then win with the super kick.
Hmm.
And
Japanese psychology.
They were all, it's when the Undertaker hits people with the tombstone and then, you know, Kane on that documentary, when he kicked out, but then it took, you know, 3, there's all different levels. And like Bully touched on it, like WrestleMania, a lot of WrestleMania matches are a lot of times guys hitting their finishes and having people kick out, and it's the guy, it's the moment. I don't think anything is sacred anymore. And should it be? Yes. But if you have Randy Orton doing the RKO, which for a long time, and listen, this is for a long time in WWE, Bully and Mark knows this. Even when Shawn retired, you weren't doing super kicks because it was Shawn's. Nobody was doing RKOs when Randy was doing it. And then he kind of gave it to Riddle, but that was thankfully a move that was protected. Nobody was doing tombstones for the longest time. But then, like, you know, let's say the choke slam, and then it becomes whose choke slam is bigger than or better than the other ones. I don't remember people kicking out of Mark's finish. And then we've joked about it, like Otis does it and the guys kick out all the time. For me, I would go, but when I hit a DDT, I usually win with it. And I can still hit it today at 51 years old and people still pop for it. And if I beat people with it, I still have credibility. And if the person kicks out, the person kicking out still has credibility. And they're like, oh. So this is a deep, deep dive. Me personally, like Sergeant Slaughter's Cobra Clutch should be, you know, like the way it was. Bobby Lashley's Full Nelson, that has gotten over. And holds like that need to be protected / taken care of that way.
But I like what you just said, Tommy, and then you piggyback Bully with psychology, like where in a match, you know what, Chris Adams would hit that super kick, hit it again, you know, Kevin Von Erich would still kick it, but he would find a way to end that match with the super kick. Commentators jump in. I remember Gorilla Monsoon, and the rare occasion where somebody would kick out during the finish, Gorilla Monsoon would say he didn't get all of it, or it's too early in the match, like, you know, even the commentators would protect that finish. And again, they're the good psychology that was used in the match as well.
They would. And sometimes it calls for it. But this is, it should be the exception, not the rule. So I pose the question to Tommy and to Mark. Whose fault is it? Over the past, let's just call it, I don't know, 10 years, let's just say, with the influx of younger wrestlers blatantly prostituting moves that were considered strong finishers of the past. Whose fault is it? The talent, the younger talent, or the veterans who are allowing it to happen?
In my opinion, it's the promoter, because the promoter trumps everybody. The
promoter doesn't always know what's going on in the match.
But you know what? I've seen signs. No super kicks. I've seen signs. No press slams. I've seen signs. No DDTs. Because in the main event, they were going to use that in the finish.
For clarification, Mark, you've seen these signs in the WWE or AEW?
In the WWE.
But Mark, if there's a sign at the gorilla position that says no DDTs and somebody goes out there and does a DDT, you know that they're getting their ass chewed or fined or fired.
They're going to get fined. They might get fired because that's a blatant violation. I don't give a fuck what you say. That's what that is. And there's no, I didn't mean to do that. It just happened because we know what guerrilla is. We know we have an agent. We know how to communicate. And without even getting into that, like, you know what you're doing. I've never, ever kicked out of somebody's finish without somebody saying, hey, we're going to, in the fall, this is going to be a false tonight. And the one time that I ever kicked out of a finish, I rolled out the floor, rolled out of the ring to the floor. It knocked me out of my damn, it knocked me out of the damn ring. That's the only once in my life. I don't know about you, Tommy, Bully. Did y'all ever kick out of somebody's finish? I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. I was told to do it.
Right. Oh, yeah. I kick out of everybody's shit. Okay.
Well, I, yeah. I think to this point, guys, where I think we're at the point in pro wrestling where there are no more finishers. Like now they're called like signature moves. Like I don't think that you can call it a quote unquote finish because it's never a finish. I mean, it's rarely a finish at this point because with the exception of a select few wrestlers, I don't know if you can tag like this is their finishing move because, you know, back in the day, you know, 30, 35, 40 years ago, you had the squash matches, you had the enhancement matches where that's where you knew where they're finishing. You know, Jake Roberts would go up against enhancement talent week in and week out. So you knew, hey, this is how he finishes a match. It's the DDT. You don't have those types of matches anymore. Every match now is a competitive match on TV. So you can't use that as your finisher.
Well, just a few other things that Mark touched upon too. I've seen it on indie shows where indie promotions say, hey, know this, know that, or because that promoter is in a smaller bubble and he knows everything that's going on in the sense of, or hey, Tommy Dreamer's here, no Death Valley drivers because Tommy Dreamer's going to Death Valley driver somebody through a table. I knew how it was when I was in House of Hardcore. I've told people nobody on the mic because I'm specifically waiting for one person to get on the mic. So when you have that control, but it gets, as Mark said, with agents and all that stuff, we have wrestlers that, you know, come up to me and ask me when I'm on indie shows or, you know, hey, do you mind if I do this? I'm like, sure, I don't care. And I give them the line that I just said, I'm going to beat somebody with it. So mine will be more over than yours. And what I'm not doing because I'm mad because, hey, they won't remember yours, but they'll remember mine. And then, you know, there's other things. When this is a reason why you have producers and you have everybody communicating, we were talking somewhat on a show and there was a nut shot and it was really going to, you know, be the turn of a babyface turning heel with a nut shot. And it was like, they're having this great scientific match and boom. And then two matches earlier, there was a nut shot that aired on the same show, was on television. And it was like, how is this not communicated? Because one was thrown away. But then the fact that they were on the same show, like, was just, that's
we see that all the time. We see that all the time on weekly television.
Yeah. But then there needs to be more type of communication.
But right now, weekly TV, Bully, we talked about it sometimes after Raw. Hell, sometimes after an AEW, like, wow, there was three matches on this show that had the same type of finish. Or four. There were times of four matches that had the same type of finish. But Tommy, you just said something that is so true. Like you said, you know what? They won't remember yours, but they'll remember mine. Meaning the three men that I'm talking to right now, Bully Ray, Mark Henry, and Tommy Dreamer, legit finishes that every pro wrestling fan knows. Like when you look at like whether it's the indie scene or whether it's even on, you know, major companies right now on national TV, how many fans know what wrestlers, what their finish is? You know, obviously Brock Lesnar, but he comes from a different era. Randy right. Orton, he comes from a different era. When you look at recently, like the new crop of wrestlers that are out there, I truly believe as a fan, somebody who's been hosting this show for 13 years, I think it's a lost art. I don't think you can legit say that every wrestler has a finisher anymore, because I don't think it's actually a finish. I think it's a signature move, because how many times does that move actually finish a match? Mark Henry, Tommy Dreamer, Bully Ray. Dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of your matches ended with that finish. How many wrestlers right now can say that their move actually finishes a match? It doesn't.
That's a good point.
There
are guys that I watch their matches and I see them try their best to lead their matches to one finish. And Bron Breakker, like he's building toward, I'm doing this every night. Mm-hmm. And I love that. And I hope that he continues to do that and don't let nobody kick out of it. Maybe we need to, Bron, if you're listening to this damn show, don't let people kick out of that. You're building it nice. Maybe
because
we should
it's
just
special.
Protect it.
Dave, let me ask you this real quick. How many matches did Ric Flair win with his figure four? Not a lot.
No.
I don't know of any. I'm really trying to think. If any.
No, but he would, but back to the point where Bully was talking about major events on TV every week, you would see Ric Flair win with the figure four leg lock.
When
so he would go up against
talents.
Mike Jackson, George South, you know, and he would go, he put that figure four leg lock on and he would win. But then when there was a big event, and back in those days, those big events were rare, that's where he might end with a roll up or off a leap off the second rope or something like that, but or not at all, or there was a non-finish. But every week on TV, you would see him win with the figure four leg. You see more matches now on TV that end with a small package than you do with an actual finisher.
You see, this is one of these master's classes where I wish we were able to bring a guest on, and a guest meaning a younger talent, somebody in their late 20s, early 30s, who has a completely different perspective on this. Because, you know, me, Mark, and Tommy are pretty much going to think the exact same way. So, you know, maybe once this goes out on the old Twitter machine on social media, some of the younger wrestlers will chime in and they'll give us their opinion on protecting finishes. That.
Because you talk about different generation, but I'm going to ask you guys this because you were part of it. The Rock's finish, was it the people's elbow or the rock bottom? Exactly. Roman Reigns' finish, is it the hoo-ah punch, Superman punch, or is it the spear? Kevin Owens, is it the pop-up powerbomb, or is it the stunner? These are all like...
But that's what I mean. Like, that's why
through a different generation, because we're all naming guys from the 80s where, like, I said Sergeant Slaughter, Mark's like freaking out. I say Magnum TA, you're like, yeah, when he hit it, it was over in seconds.
Well, that's what I mean. Now you don't have that right now. And if it is the Superman punch or if it is the spear, how many times have we seen somebody on TV or on a pay-per-view
kick out of
the spear or the Superman punch? It's a great debate. Please go to @BustedOpenRadio. Let us know your thoughts. Maybe there are wrestlers right now that do protect their finishes and we just haven't been able to think of it. If you like what you hear, please give us a 5-star rating. We want to hear from you, the Busted Open Nation. If you like what you hear, why don't you subscribe to SiriusXM and listen to us Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern Time. So for Bully Ray, for Mark Henry, for Tommy Dreamer, I'm Dave LeGrec, and we'll talk to you next week right here on Busted Open's podcast, The Master's Class. Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream the podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
Have you ever wondered what the stars have to say about your favorite artists and writers? Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa, where I, your host and astrologer, Issa Nakazawa, read and interpret astrological birth charts of luminaries like W. Kamau Bell, Gia Tolentino, and so many more. you'll discover how astrology can unlock fascinating insights about these stars. And who knows, maybe you'll learn a little bit more about yourself. Listen to Stars and Stars with Issa wherever you get your podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.